It's a Marketplace special report on money, politics, and whether campaign donors can be secret Santas who spend big, but you never know it's them. I traveled to Arizona, where voters next month will decide if some of the biggest campaign spenders should have to reveal their true identities. How this ballot measure got there, what it hopes to achieve, and what opponents say about it provide teachable moments about the mystery money that can sway elections near you. Let's start with the case of the mystery money and the rising electric bills of Arizona. It was early on a Thursday in the home stretch of a campaign some years ago. At Sandra Kennedy's, the ringing wouldn't stop.
I finally answered the phone, probably about 7:45, and said, "Geez, you've called me three times. What's going on? Have you seen the TV this morning?" And I said, "No."
It was 2014. Kennedy was running for a second term on the Public Utilities Commission that regulates power companies, what Arizona calls its Corporation Commission. She checks the TV.
And there was this commercial. And I sat on the foot of the bed and went, "Oh my God."
Kennedy voted for higher sales taxes, but she didn't even pay her own bills. Kennedy was an owner of a restaurant.
She says the ad cherry-picked from a lawsuit over the franchise for a Denny's restaurant in which she had a small stake, where her husband was chief executive and majority owner, a suit later settled. The ad falsely made it look like Kennedy was a cheat or a crook. And Kennedy, who is black, saw something else in the ad she found disturbing.
Each time the ad was shown, my face got darker and darker and darker.
The ad seemed to play into racial prejudice. But who is paying for it? At the time, no way to tell for sure, since donors in most states can route their campaign funding through nonprofits that don't need to give out their donors' names. Given her support of solar power, Kennedy guessed it was someone connected to the monopoly electric company she regulated called Arizona Public Service.
I went from first place, 10 points up, to I came in last.
Well, next to last, but yes, she lost. And two newcomers, seen as friendly to the power company, got elected. The five-member commission would then approve an increase in electricity bills. As for Kennedy, her teenage kids implored her to get out of politics.
My son and my youngest said, "Please don't do that to us again."
But after her kids graduated high school, Kennedy ran again in 2018 and won. Back as regulator, she was determined to get to the bottom of those televised attacks. It took a subpoena from her commission. You should see the five binders the company finally sent in 2019. Each is like lifting a Thanksgiving turkey for a family of 10.
I probably took 3 weeks to go through them. It was devastating.
They confirmed what Kennedy had long suspected. The source of the money had been not a surrogate, not a troll, but the electric utility itself, APS, through its holding company called Pinnacle West Capital. Serious dollars.
I stopped adding at 10.2 million.
The company declined our interview request and referred us to its policy. By 2020, there was a new CEO who'd made this promise to regulators.
If I can say that under my leadership, Pinnacle West and APS and any of our affiliates will neither directly nor indirectly participate in any election of any corporation commissioner.
Well, that was a pledge I demanded at commission meeting.
Bob Burns, now retired, was chair of the regulatory commission at the time. He wants more than a pledge.
It's good as long as he's there, but he might go tomorrow.
Burns is a Republican who supported Kennedy, a Democrat, to get the electric company to fess up. Burns wants those that spend on races to say it out loud.
You got to have sunlight in the election, and so if you're going to spend, you need to report so people know who you're supporting and by how much.
Just 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday, voters in Arizona will decide on a measure to disclose the names of people or companies who spend $5,000 or more on campaigns. We wanted to know more.
Our original slogan was outlaw dirty money.
As a former prosecutor, Terry Goddard knows money laundering. What he now calls dark money is not criminal money laundering, but he says it is a way to launder money.
The same techniques that are used by the cartels to move money from sale of drugs into legitimate business is the kind of thing that's being done politically with the dark money operation.
Goddard, who used to be Attorney General of Arizona, is a guiding force behind the question Arizona voters will decide in November, called Proposition 211. To understand it, you need to know how political donations can become anonymous. Funders can hand the money to an intermediary, a kind of nonprofit allowed to play in politics. Who paid for that attack ad? Dunno, some nonprofit with a pleasant-sounding name.
Americans for Peanut Butter or Americans for a Better Tomorrow, whatever the nonsense name is, they can say anything. And if it means defaming the other side or saying things that are untrue, they're happy to do it because they have no reputation at risk.
He says voters also need to know who's paying to help them sift through campaign claims and counterclaims. Goddard is a Democrat, but meet funder number one of this initiative. Are you another one of those Democrats, capital D?
No, I'm registered independent. I'm a major supporter of political campaigns for both Republicans and for Democrats.
Would have been mighty rich had this man given his money secretly, but no.
That would be fairly ironical if I had, yeah. No, it's out there.
His fully disclosed name, David Tedesco, founder of a Phoenix-based company called Outlier that does everything from travel medicine to real estate. And in a state where some lie awake worried about billionaire Charles Koch on the right, and others lie awake about billionaire George Soros on the left, Tedesco says his conservative business friends and his liberal pals are getting behind this ballot prop.
I think historically, Republicans felt like dark money benefited them, and Democrats felt like it hurt them. If you look at the data, you can actually see that in some cycles, Democrats have actually benefited more from dark money than Republicans have. And I think both sides have come to realize it's sort of a weapon of mass destruction that isn't really helping anybody.
But bipartisan doesn't mean universal appeal. Kathy Herod is president of the Center for Arizona Policy that advocates for what it terms life, marriage and family, and religious freedom. She also runs a separate but related nonprofit of the sort that does political work, not a 501c3 under the tax code, but a 501c4. Herod believes Proposition 211 would chill free speech.
Every Arizonan should be free to support causes with their dollars without fear of bullying, disclosure, harassment.
She brings up a 2014 controversy in neighboring California involving the CEO of the Firefox browser company.
And when the donation became public, he lost his job because he was supporting the marriage amendment that would have prohibited marriage between two men or two women, and that was not a popular cause. He lost his job.
That said, the Mozilla guy's donation had been structured to be public from the get-go. Herod says that if more disclosure pressures people into not spending money in Arizona, and if money enables speech, this would mean less speech, which she believes violates the First Amendment. But voters in Arizona will get to decide after almost 400,000 signatures were submitted. Signatures gathered in part by volunteers like Nikki Kirkaby, a retired flight attendant with a secret weapon.
I'd have a doggy treats for the dogs, have my table, and people would come up and talk.
Her pitch contrasts normal campaign donations, both large and small in Arizona, the ones that don't go through nonprofits. Those are public for all to see.
You know, it's only fair. You know, we have to disclose when we make a donation of $50 or more. The people behind these large donations should have their name attached to them.
Kirkaby found her best hunting grounds for signatures in front of a popular bookstore in Phoenix called Changing Hands. Readers are prone to civil engagement, she found. At the edge of the high country town of Flagstaff, Buffalo Park would be a hiker's paradise if not for the on-and-off drizzle on this autumn day. In a gazebo with picnic tables, I meet up with more volunteers who helped put Arizona's campaign finance disclosure initiative onto the November ballot. And I'm looking at the headgear on Arizona's number one, tippy-top, most effective volunteer gatherer of signatures.
And the hat would attract the children. And then the parents were trapped.
Kind of looks like a chef hat, but it says Stop Dark Money, has our logo on the front, and then there's dollar bills sticking out all around the top of it.
Kelly Gibbs, with the hat, is a retired elementary school teacher whom you might mistake for Betty White's much younger sister. Diane McQueen, another volunteer, is also pretty darn good at collecting signatures.
They say, you mean Charles Koch, or you mean George Soros? And I'd say, yes, here's sign.
She also coordinated hundreds of other volunteers. With 4 million registered voters to canvass in Arizona, volunteers alone won't do it. Businessman David Tedesco, that top funder of the ballot campaign, helped use his experience evaluating companies to figure out which firm would manage the paid staff.
It's not the cleanest, most white shoe bunch of companies that are out there doing this. We wanted to work with a very high quality group that we felt we could trust.
He helped find a Texas firm. The resulting signature forms have to be super precise, with signers listing the address they had used to register to vote. Some get challenged. The matter got to Arizona's Supreme Court, which confirmed there were plenty enough to get this on the November ballot.
I was dancing around the living room. My husband made fun of me.
Beyond the exuberance of volunteers, another component is experienced legal advice to help craft these initiatives in a robust way. This one requires that big corporate and individual donors, $5,000 or more, disclose their names when giving campaign money through an intermediary, those nonprofits allowed to do political work. And it would only apply to those nonprofits that do a lot of this work, the ones spending $50,000 or more for a statewide race in Arizona, $25,000 or more for a local one. Patrick Llewellyn at the Campaign Legal Center in Washington believes this initiative will stand up.
Prop 211 would not stop anyone from speaking and would not limit the amount of money anyone could spend on elections. Instead, Prop 211 ensures that when big political spenders spend big money to influence Arizona voters, those voters have real transparency about where that money is really coming from.
Money, enthusiasm, legal and management advice, and the biggest ingredient may be persistence.
I'm just a stubborn person.
Again, Terry Goddard, the leader of the Prop 211 campaign. Persistence, because this is the fourth time they've tried this. One time, the money dried up.
Ironically, the financial contributor that we were depending on wrote us kind of sheepishly and said, well, I believe in dark money. I do a lot of it.
In 2018, too many signatures were invalidated, and that was that. Again, 2 years later, but pandemic.
You have to get a live signature. It has to be person to person. The circulator has to observe the signer in the process of signing.
Now it's the fourth go-around, and when they got the signatures verified,
I felt like I could exhale.
Becky Daggett is helping with Prop 211, even as she runs for mayor of Flagstaff, a nonpartisan post.
And know that these years of organizing and collecting signatures had paid off.
But now it's all eyes on November the 8th. And even if voters go for this, it ain't over till it's over, till it's over. Kathy Herod at that conservative nonprofit in Arizona that's allowed to contribute to campaigns told me this.
If 211 passes, I certainly expect a constitutional challenge.
While the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia once wrote that allowing anonymous donations isn't, quote, the home of the brave, Justice Clarence Thomas writes about cancel culture and is against disclosure.
I think this current court is concerned about individual freedom and the right of free speech.
It's not just Arizona where people have been working on putting names to corporate spending. Another letter A state, this time Alaska.
Hey! I think that's the first time I've ever asked for a round of applause on Zoom, but I think it worked.
Pandemic campaigning in 2020, meaning rallies not at the Capitol in Juneau, but on screens instead.
Thank you for voting.
The result was close, but Alaska voters did approve a limit on anonymous money influencing campaigns. If a person gives $2,000 or more, voters get to know who's paying. That's now the law in Alaska.
Every year, every election, more and more money. No one knows where it comes from.
Scott Kendall is an Alaska attorney now defending the measure in court. As we've been exploring, donors in most states can keep on the down low by giving their money to a kind of nonprofit that's allowed to do political work. Not a 501c3 like the United Way, which can't do politics, but typically a C4 that's allowed to give to campaigns. These nonprofits can have pleasant-sounding names, along the lines of Citizens for a Perfect Universe or something.
Americans for Apple Pie, and Americans for Apple Pie donates money in election, and no one knows where that money came from.
Polls show voters on both the left and the right indicate worry about so-called dark money. Republicans got good at it, and then in 2020, Democrats got even better at it nationally, according to a New York Times analysis. And Kendall says Alaskans seem to like their new system's focus on the bigger donors.
If you're a member of the NRA, you don't give them $2,000 a year. So the NRA membership, they can donate money. Or labor unions, their thresholds are below that.
Groups including the Alaska Free Market Coalition unsuccessfully challenged the new law in federal court, but it's now on appeal. Daniel Suhr of the Liberty Justice Center of Chicago represents the challengers. He believes Alaska's rules go further than advertised, suggesting donors could get exposed if they gave, for example, to the local Chamber of Commerce. And he's worried that donors will now be less likely to speak out with their dollars if they could end up in the hot seat.
Our society benefits when people have that privacy because it creates space for people to support controversial issues and have a vibrant marketplace of ideas where all ideas are heard, including controversial ones.
A robust marketplace of ideas is a key reason the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to limit corporate political contributions.
But ideally, a market needs transparency in order to function properly.
Jay Costa is director of a California-based group called Voters Right to Know, which pushes for disclosure policies at the state level.
Otherwise, you know, there are distortions that occur because people don't really know what they're buying.
How courts decide is being watched well beyond Alaska. In 2018, voters in North Dakota passed new campaign disclosure rules. There's Arizona next month, and maybe Oregon in 2024. 21 states allow votes on measures pushed by citizens and not necessarily referrals from elected legislatures. Available to provide expertise in these matters is Patrick Llewellyn with that Campaign Legal Center in D.C.
When legislatures won't take action themselves, it makes sense that citizens of the state would take the initiative.
Last month, the president of the United States pushed to get money out of what he called the shadows.
Right now, advocacy groups can run ads on issues attacking or supporting a candidate right until Election Day without disclosing who's paying for that ad.
But 2 days later, a national ban on mystery money failed in the Senate. No Republican voted yes, and that was that. David Tedesco, a businessman and registered independent who's funding the ballot measure in Arizona, sees a kind of arms race.
If you talk to sitting politicians in a private conversation, what you're generally going to hear from most of them is, I'd like to see dark money go away, but my opponents take dark money, and I might have to take dark money. But privately, if you take care of it for us, I'd be happy to follow those rules.
That dynamic puts pressure on citizens as opposed to elected legislatures to get the issue onto ballots and into law. So, do we have a story here celebrating democracy, citizens trying to reform an election system they see as broken? Or is this a failure of democracy if indeed there is bipartisan support for bringing campaign finance out of the shadows, yet elected officials find themselves unable to act? Again, it's less than half the states that allow citizens to bring measures like this to the ballot. In just over 3 weeks, we'll learn what the voters of Arizona decide. Our program, Secret Money, Public Influence, is produced by Marketplace's Alex Schroeder, with Meredith Gerritsen and John Gordon. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Juan Carlos Torrado, and we had help with sound design from Erica Soderstrom. Our online digital team is Carrie Barber, Olga Oxman, Edward Silver, and Dylan Mietinen. I'm David Brancaccio.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.